ورسولنا الأدنان زعيم دعوتنا دستورنا القرآن والله رايتنا ورسولنا الأدنان زعيم دعوتنا دستورنا القرآن والله رايتنا ورسولنا الأدنان زعيم دعوتنا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Please recite one Surat al-Fatiha for Marhum Iqbal Maulawi, who passed away recently. Also, it is requested to read the Ayatul Karima 5 times for Sister Sultana Khan bint Ali Nawab, who is ill. So for her shifa and the shifa of all the mu'mineen, let's recite the Ayatul Karima 5 times all together. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Amman yujibul muftarra idha da'ahu yakshifus su'. Amman yujibul muftarra idha da'ahu yakshifus su'. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ اللَّهُمَّ اشْفِ مَرْضَانَا وَمَرْضَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ خاصة هَذِهِ الْمَرِيضَةِ الْمَنْظُورَةِ بِجَاهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء. وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل فرجه وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل
فرجه. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: فاطمة بضعة مني، من أغضبها فقد أغضبني. وقال الإمام صاحب الزمان ولي العصر الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي عليه الصلاة والسلام وعجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف في ابنة رسول الله لي أسوة حسنة صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل فرجه.
We pay our condolences and ta'ziyat to the Imam of our time, Al-Imam Waliyul Asr, Sahib al-Zaman, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
wa ajjal farajah.
For the martyrdom of his great grandmother, who is the Lady of Light and the most superior woman Allah created. Because when someone came to the Holy Prophet and said that Virgin Mary, Hazrat Maryam, was the leader of the ladies, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Kanat sayyidata nisa'i alamiha." She was the leader of the ladies of her time. Amma ibnati Fatima fahiya sayyidatu nisa'il alamin min al-awwalina wal-akhirin. As far as my daughter Fatima is concerned, she is the leader of the women of all times, from the earlier generations and the later generations.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And the hadith which I recited, which is actually narrated in the At-Tawqi' al-Mubarak, so those of the traditions which are narrated from the Imam of our time, when people in the lesser absence period, Al-Ghaybat al-Sughra, used to send their queries to the Naib, to the deputy of the Imam. We have four deputies coming one after the other, and all the questions and the issues in those days were addressed to the deputy, and he had direct link with the Imam of the time, conveying all the questions to him and receiving back the answers in the written form. We had in our religion one deputy of the Imam at one time. When one passed away, then Imam used to appoint the second one in his place. When the second passed away, then Imam appointed the third, and so on with the fourth one. So you cannot have two deputies at one time. That's impossible. That's never part of the ideology of the Shia religion. We have one deputy at one time. The same was true in the time of the lesser absence period, Al-Ghaybat al-Sughra, and the same is true for the greater absence period. The principles of religion never change, Alhamdulillah. So one deputy at one time, two cannot serve as deputies. So we find that one of those four specifically assigned deputies, which we call a Na'ibul Khas. What deputies we have today for the Imam, one after the other in the 12 centuries that have passed in the greater absence period, these deputies one after the other are called a Na'ibul Aam, the general deputy. That means the person who is not assigned by his name, instead he is assigned by the attributes. So we call them Jami'u Shara'it, the conditions fulfilling mujtahid. You cannot follow just any mujtahid out there. We respect all of them, but we follow the one who fulfills the conditions mentioned in the hadith of the Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And if there are several who fulfill the conditions, then we follow the one who fulfills the conditions better than the rest. So, coming back to the point that I was mentioning, in the lesser absence period, we had specifically assigned deputies who were assigned by the name. And so the questions which came on behalf of the Imam were in the written form. So these questions in the Ilm al-Riwayat, in the knowledge of narrations, we call these answers coming from the behalf of the Imam in the written form as At-Tawqi'at, At-Tawqi'ul Mubarak. So in one of the Tawqi'at we find that, so Tawqi'at are those of the hadith of Imam, our 12th Imam alayhi salam, which came in the written form to the specifically assigned deputy in the lesser absence period. So in one of the Tawqi'at, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam says that fi ibnati Rasulillah li uswatun hasana. In the daughter of the Messenger of Allah lies a role model for me. So when we say that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is a role model, she is not just a role model for me and you, which is very obvious. She is a role model for even Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So this carries a lot of weight when the Imam of our time is saying that kind of statement. It does carry a lot of weight. So we find that when our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
says that nahnu hujajullahi ala al-khalq, we are the hujjats, the evidences of Allah on the creatures. That means everything that Allah created from the beginning till the end are perfectly under the command of the commanders in chief, the 12 Imams who are appointed by Allah as commanders in chief, one after the other. So everything that Allah created is perfectly in their authority and control because they have al-walayatul takwiniyya al-mutlaqa, the absolute control over the whole universe. So everything returns back and reports back to them because they are the commanders in chief, they are calling the shots. Except a few humans and jinns who are serving as rebellious creatures, and everything else is already perfectly obedient to them. They are the hujjats of Allah. So we find Imam Sadiq al-Salam says, Nahnu hujjatullah, we are the hujjats of Allah. Nahnu hujjatullah ala al-khalq, over the creatures. That means everything which is part of the creation of God is under their hujjiyat. And then, so this is what I explained to you is one of the benefits that we learn in the light of the hadith. So, and then he says that wa Fatimatu hujjatuhu alayna. And Fatima is his hujjat. That means the hujjat of Allah upon us. So they are the commanders in chief of the universe, and Fatima alayha salam is superior to them. They themselves are under the command of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So this gives even a further weight to the personality of the Imam. And this makes us understand, you know, how much high is Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. When our sixth Imam says, Lawla anna amir al-mu'mineen alayhi salamu tazawwajaha, had it not been for Amir al-mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, to marry her, ma kana laha kuffun ala wajhi al-ardh, Adam faman dunahu. Had it not been for Imam Ali alayhi salam to marry her, she would not have any parallel starting from Prophet Adam till all those humans who came after him She had no parallel. You know, in Islam, the whole concept of marriage depends on the concept of kufr. Isn't it right? Al-mu'minuna ba'dhum akfa'u ba'd. Mu'mins are parallels to each other. In Farsi, in Arabic, we say kufr. In Farsi, we say hamta. In English, we say the parallels, those who are your spiritual counterparts, those who are your spiritual parallels. We, in Islam, marry with the person who is our spiritual parallel, not the financial parallel. There is no room for financial issues to come in the middle. Even whether you are rich or poor, that really doesn't matter. What's the color of your skin, that really doesn't matter. What ethnicity you belong, that really doesn't matter. What language you speak has nothing to do with this. What family background you have is not important. Isn't it right? So, what is important in Islam is what is the status of your ruhaniyat and spirituality. So a marriage is in Islam, and is the concept is entirely depending on your spiritual parallels. If you find a person who is a spiritual parallel to you, that's where the marriage is appropriate to happen. So when it comes down to this concept of Islam, then talking about the spirituality of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, we find that none of the prophets of God, starting from Prophet Adam, what to talk of the regular people, what to talk of sinners like me. Even the prophets of God, any prophet other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is superior than Hazrat Fatima, any prophet of God is not considered to be a spiritual parallel to her greatness of spirituality. No prophet can parallel her. So when we are talking about a personality like this, then it makes the highness of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha immeasurable for human minds. So when we talk about this kind of stuff, it's not emotional. And I always say in my speeches, there is no room for emotions in Islam. Nothing that we do in a religion is based on emotions. Nothing at all. Everything we believe and practice is based on concrete, unshakable evidences. Those who don't know, that's their problem. That's their problem. Islamically speaking, everything that we believe and do is based on solid and logical, unshakable evidences. And that's why we do it. Not because I'm born to Shia parents, not because I'm born to such and such parents. It has nothing to do with that. We are founding our beliefs and actions on logical evidences. So, Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha's highness has reasons. And that's what we are trying to shed some light on that fact, so that our youth and elders realize some of those reasons why she is so great. It's not emotional. So we find that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, لِفَاطِمَةَ تِسْعَةُ أَسْمَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Fatima has 9 names in the eyes of Allah. Fatima, and I will come to that name, and As-Siddiqa, that's her second name, the one who says and tells and practices nothing but the truth. Everything she believes, everything she performs, every attribute, every aspect, all the stances that she has taken in her life, her policies of life, everything and anything that she did believe and practice in her life is based on truthfulness. So, wal mubarakah, the blessed one, which has barakat and blessings, every aspect of her life is barakat. We call the ashabul yameen. Those people who enter the paradise, we call them ashabul yameen. Some people say that's because the book of deeds will be handed over into the right hand of those people, and right hand in Arabic is called yameen. But my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah in his tafsir was saying that the reason why we call Ashabul Yameen to be Ashabul Yameen is because of the fact that the word Yameen is derived from the Arabic word of Yumn and Barakah. Blessings. Yumn in Arabic means Barakat and blessing. So because those people who end up in the paradise, everything of their life had blessing of Allah in it. That's why we call them Ashabul Yameen, the companions of the blessing. Not only for the reason that the book of deeds will be given to the right hand. So what Tahira, the fourth name she has is Tahira, means the pure one. Was Zakiya, again, which is the clean and pure one. Wa Radhiya, means the one who is pleased with Allah. And this is a very important aspect of the personality of a human, that we are always pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His decisions. You find very nice people in the community. Then when little something happens to them, they end up losing their job, they end up having some sort of illness, isn't it right? Their son died. Whatever, any problem, any test from Allah that we may end up facing, you find some of the very nice people starting to complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why in the world is this happening to me? I give so much charities for Islam, for the community. I did so much for the masjid, for the Husayniyah. Why is Allah doing that to me? And some people don't say it, but deep down in their heart, they have complaints against God and His decisions, which are based on absolute wisdom. Just because I fail to understand the absolute wisdom doesn't give me a license to challenge what Allah is doing. Isn't it right? Every problem, brothers and sisters, that we face in our practical lives has to take its roots to one or several of the problems that we have in the belief system. And that's why people end up doing what they're doing in their practical lives. So it's a very, very important aspect of her personality when we are saying that her name is Ar-Radhiya, the one who is pleased with Allah. So there is no complaint, absolutely no complaint, not just that, but she is pleased with what Allah is doing. Every decision of Allah, she is pleased about it. Even if my son dies, I am pleased with Allah, what Allah is doing towards me. It's not just having no complaint, but having a pleasure towards what Allah is doing. That's a very high level. Easier said than done. So she's Radhiya. She's pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal Mardiya, the one with whom Allah is pleased, which is even higher than the earlier name. Because when we are the subject of the pleasure of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with every aspect of her personality. Wal Muhaddatha is the name that refers to the incident where after the death and shahadat of her father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allah sent an angel, and according to some narrations it was Jibreel, some other narrations did not mention the name of the angel. Allah sent an angel who used to talk to her directly, which shows the highness of her spirituality, that she is able to receive an angel like Jibreel directly for her spirituality. It's a lot of highness to be able to receive direct ilham from Allah. So, but there's a difference in our Islamic belief system between wahi, the revelation, and ilham. We believe in something else which is called ilham. And this is what we are talking about, not the wahi and revelation. So an angel used to come and talk to her directly, and she used to dictate things. And Imam Ali alayhi salam used to write it down. And that's what formed what we call Mus'haf of Fatima alayhi salam, which our imams are proud of having the Mus'haf of Fatima, the book of Fatima alayhi salam with them, is part of the 31 signs of every ma'soom. We recognize the ma'soom infallible imam with those 31 signs. And one of those 31 signs is that he has the Mus'haf of Fatima with him. And this is something that talks about Hawadith, the events and incidents which are going to happen till the Day of Judgment. So this is shows the greatness of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi, that she was the mukhatab and audience of the angel. So we call her Al-Muhaddasa. And last of all, the ninth name is Az-Zahra, the glittering one, the one who is illuminous, because her soul was shining brighter than any star out there for Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi as-salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad
and all the angels of Allah. So Fatima is a name which is that's her name and that's her prime name. And we have several hadiths from our sixth Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, where he is talking about the reasons why she was named Fatima, why his grandmother was named Fatima. In one of the hadiths, our Imam says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لِأَنَّهَا فَاطَمَةِ الشَّرِّ. Fatima in Arabic language, the Fatima means to separate. Fatim and Fatima means the separator. So we call her the separator for these reasons which are mentioned in the hadith. The first one, Imam alayhi salam says that the reason why, which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my words, he says that the reason why Fatima is called Fatima because she has separated the shar and evil. Now she got separated away from every type of evil. So this is the reason why she's called Fatima. The second reason which is mentioned in another hadith of the Imam says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لَأَنَّهَا فُطِمَتْ مِنَ التَّمْثِ. So the reason why Fatima, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, why Fatima is called Fatima, because she's separated from the period. She doesn't have the monthly period. This shows her highness and of spirituality again and her cleanliness. And the third hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لِأَنَّهَا فُطِمَتْ عَنِ الْخَلْقِ. The reason why she is called Fatima because she is separated from the creatures. And our scholars and great personalities of Islam say that this name is indicating towards the fact, towards the level that she enjoys, which is the level of fana fillah. That means dissolving your personality for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means for her entire life she stood for the sake of Allah. So she has separated herself from everyone and everything in the creatures. She has the complete connection with Allah by separating herself from everyone and everything else other than Allah, which is the highest level, you know, what we say in the Munajat al-Sha'baniyya. You know, Ilahi Habli, when Shaheed Mutahari rahmatullah alayh came to his teacher Allama At-Tabatabai and asked him, tell me a dua that I should read in the qunut of my prayers. And his teacher Allama At-Tabatabai said to him to read this dua, which is part of the Munajat Ash-Sha'baniyya, where we learn that Ilahi Habli kamal al-inqita'i ilayk. O my Lord, bestow upon me the perfect disconnection from everyone and everything other than you towards you. That means I give me the blessing so that I can disconnect myself from everyone and everything other than you and get connected with you alone. Ilahi habli kamalan inqita, such a beautiful dua. Kamalan, although all the duas of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are equally beautiful. Habli kamalan inqita ilayk wa anir absara qulubina بضياء نظرها إليك. So this reasoning of her naming with the name of Fatima, our scholars say, is pointing towards the fact that she enjoys the status of fana fillah. That means dissolving her personality for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth reason which Imam Sadiq al-Islam mentions in his hadith, why Hazrat Fatima is called Fatima, he says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لِأَنَّ الْخَلْقَ فُطِمُوا عَنْ كُنْهِ مَعْرِفَتِهَا. The reason why Fatima is called Fatima, because the creatures are separated from having in-depth recognition of her personality. That means none of the creatures of Allah can dare understand completely and fully the entire recognition of her personality. She's that high. So everyone else is kept away and separated from her. That's another aspect we learn about the greatness of why she is called Fatima. The fifth hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لَأَنَّهَا فَطَمَتْ شِعَتَهَا عَنِ النَّارِ. Because Fatima is called Fatima because she has separated her true followers from the hell. So anyone who is entitled to be categorized as a true follower of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, it is a blank check. There's a guarantee which is there that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha has already separated all of her true followers away from the hellfire. The flames of the hellfire cannot dare touch or get close to these great personalities who are her Shias. And the next reason, sixth of all, and the last one which I would mention, the last hadith about that that I found, says that إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لِأَنَّ أَعْدَاءَهَا فُطِمُوا عَنْ حُبِّهَا. So Fatima is called Fatima because her enemies are separated from having her love. So none of the enemies of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam will ever end up loving her. Well, what's the status of loving her? Is it that important? Yes, that is that important. What is the importance of loving Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam? Okay, let's go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him. And this hadith is narrated by Salman al-Farisi. No surprise. Every hadith of the highest content has to be narrated from the companions of the highest caliber. It makes perfect sense. One of the reasons why in the knowledge of narrations, in Ilm al-Rijal, we search, rightfully so, we search for the narrators and find out the chain of narrators and scrutinize all those 18,730 something narrators in the history of Islam who have narrated those more than 300,000 narrations. Why we scrutinize those 18,730 something narrators from various aspects of their personality is one of the reasons is that because the contents of the narration itself depends on who is narrating it. Because the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt were such that they always used to talk to people according to their mental levels. Then the Prophet say, "Inna ma'ashara al-anbiya umirna an nukallim al-nas ala qadri uqulihim." We, the group of prophets, we have been commanded to talk to people according to their mental levels. So what Prophet would talk to Salman al-Farisi, who belongs to the 10th level of Iman, Prophet will never talk that same thing to Abu Dharr, isn't that right? Who belongs to the 9th level of Iman. And what Prophet would say to Abu Dharr, who belongs to the 9th level of Iman and faith, Prophet will never say that thing to Miqdad, who belongs to the 8th. And what Prophet would say to Miqdad ibn al-Aswad al-Kindi, who belongs to the 8th level of Iman, Prophet will never say it to Ammar ibn al-Yasir, who belongs to the 7th. And when Prophet, we find Salman Farsi, he used to have special sessions with the Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salatu wa salam, wa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Special sessions where no one else was allowed to enter. And when one of the very famous companions entered in the gathering, all of a sudden, we find that Prophet became silent. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us what you were talking to Salman earlier. And Prophet didn't say a word about that information. And instead he replied, honey is harmful for newborn babies. So we find that it is extremely important, brothers and sisters, to find out who is the narrator of the hadith. So we can value the contents of the hadith after that. Because Prophet and Ahlul Bayt used to talk to the person according to what he deserves to get. In Ilm al-Irfan, we say, the scholars say, that you get what you deserve. Whatever you did not get in your life, any blessing and every blessing that you did not get in your life, it's not because God is a miser. Na'udhu billah min dhalik, he is not a miser. It's because I didn't deserve to get it. Allah is adil and just. We need to make ourselves deserving and we'll find the blessing coming in our way immediately without delay because God is not a miser. I already said to you, every problem that people are facing in their practical lives has to take its roots to one or several problems they are facing in the belief system actually. So we need to actually resolve the problem of people from their beliefs. Take the roots out of the problems in the ideology. Instead of talking on the surface and cutting the leaves and the branches, that's not going to solve the problem. So we find that Prophet and Ahlul Bayt used to talk to people according to what they deserve to get. So talking to people more than what they deserve is an insult of the knowledge. And talking to people less than what they deserve is an insult to your audience. Isn't that right? So we find the hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam says that لا تعلق الجواهر في أعناق الخنازير. And that's narrated by Shaheed Al-Thani, one of our great mujtahids and marji from Lebanon, rahmatullahi alayh. In his book, he narrates Munyatul Murid fi Adab al-Mufid wal-Mustafid. Such a remarkable book about the etiquettes of teaching and learning in Islam. In that great book, he mentions this hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he says, لا تعلق الجواهر في أعناق الخنازير. Don't hang the jewels in the necks of the pigs. أعناق الخنازير. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, don't hang the jewels in the necks of the pigs. And Shaheed Al-Thani, doing the tafsir and interpretation of this hadith, says, don't teach what Imam Ali means. He says, don't teach the knowledge to those who don't deserve it. So now getting back to after this prelude of discussion, so you can value the contents of the hadith after this prelude, let's go back to the hadith, which is from Rasulullah, narrated by Salman al-Farisi, who belongs to the 10th level of Iman. And he is Salman minna Ahl al-Bayt, part of Ahlul Bayt, isn't it right? So now Prophet said to Salman, and that's narrated in Bihar, volume 27. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا سلمان من أحب فاطمة ابنتي فهو في الجنة معي. Whoever, O Salman, whoever loves Fatima, my daughter, he is with me in the paradise. Now we understand what's the status of loving Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha and her enemies, why the enemies got separated from ending up having her love. They don't deserve it. Isn't that right? Now look at the status of loving Hazrat Zahra in the eyes of the Prophet. Whoever loves Fatima, my daughter, he is in the paradise with me. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهَا فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ. and whoever hates us or hates her is in the hell. And then Prophet says, Ya Salman, Hubbu Fatimata Yanfa'u fi mi'ati mawtin. Aysaru tilka al-mawatin. The love of Fatima helps in 100 places. Love of Fatima alayhi salam is going to help a person at 100 places. And then Prophet starts to count the easiest of those 100. He didn't count all of those in the narration. He just counts the easiest of those 100. To us, it sounds the most difficult ones, but we understand there are much more difficult places remaining because Prophet is calling these as the easiest ones. So now Prophet says the easiest of those, that means easiest of those 100 places, is al-maut. That means the death. So when the soul is taken out from the body, at that moment, the most crucial moment of the entire life of a person. If you ask the question, what is the most crucial moment of the life of any human, the answer to the question is that, not the time when he's born, not the time when he becomes baligh and Islamically mature, not the time when he prays and fasts and goes for hajj and performs all those worships. There are so many who used to do very nice deeds. At the time of their death, they ended up becoming kafir. Isn't it right? And the opposite is true as well. There were so many who were kafirs and supporting the taghuts. And in the final moments, they were guided and they ended up at the final moments, they end up becoming mu'mins. And this is mentioned in the history about the signs of the wuhur and appearance of the imam, that in those days before the appearance, there will be people who were switching sides. Yusbihu mu'minan wa yumsi kafiran. A guy will be a mu'min in the time of dawn. He will dawn as a mu'min. By the time the evening arrives, he will end up becoming a kafir. وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا. A person is a kafir in the morning, but the time the evening arrives, he may become a mu'min. So people will be, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant, brothers and sisters, which family you were born in. Salman Farsi was never born to a mu'min parents. He was born to Zoroastrian family. Isn't it right? Look at how high he can reach. He can become part of Ahlul Bayt. So no one is supposed to feel proud over which family I was born into, which family.